Right, if we will, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to start in Psalm 112 and verse number 1. And I think I said last lesson that we were getting out of the Psalms, and we are. But we're going to start here with this verse and then look at several other verses that contain our beatitude for our study today, which has to do with obedience. Blessed is the man who obeys or who is obedient to God. So in a previous lesson, we talked about blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And we noted that there wasn't just one beatitude that said that, but there were two, particularly in the Old Testament. And in another lesson, I think we saw there were maybe a couple other beatitudes. But when we come to this one about obedience, there are a bunch of them. And I think that's important that God, in telling his people, and of course telling us still today, how to be blessed, how to have our sufficiency in him and not in the things of the world, how to inherit the promise made to Abraham, emphasizes over and over and over again that it requires obedience, not just hearing what he says, not just believing in him, but actually doing what he commands us to do. So Psalm 112 and verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments." And so we're going to use that as kind of a jumping off place to talk about our lesson today. The beatitude is, of course, the blessed man fears God, which means he has a proper reverence and respect for him. So what he says, he's going to pay attention to and listen to. And, of course, put it into practice, be obedient to it. But he also says that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And if you remember when we first started, the first, you know, real beatitude that we looked at was Psalm number 1. So we talked about the word blessed and we talked about the promise made to Abraham. But then that foundational beatitude is really what Psalm 1 is. And it's blessed is the man who, you know, doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't do sinful things. But then he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that's the principle that we see here. One who delights greatly in God's commandments. And we mentioned it then, and it's worth mentioning again here, that it means that if we want to be one of the blessed, we have to find joy in keeping God's commandments. It has to make us joyful to do what God says. And it's not always easy necessarily, and it's not always maybe what we want to do or what the world tells us to do. It will bring sometimes persecution and hardship and division, but we have to find joy in doing what God says because God says it, and we know him and we trust him, and we know that he's only telling us what is best for us. So it starts with that attitude of reverence toward God, and because we respect him, we find joy in doing what he tells us to do, in keeping his word. So that's the jumping off point. The text that we're really going to use to kind of go through the points of our study this morning is Revelation 1:3. And I know that this is a New Testament beatitude, but it ties in with what the one says here in the psalm, and it really kind of helps us go through all the different ones we find in the Old Testament about obedience. So we've read this verse not too long ago on Sunday nights in our study of Revelation, but that book begins by saying, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And so we learn that the blessed man is the one who reads and hears and keeps. And that is a way of explaining what it means to fear God and to delight greatly in his commandments. So we're going to take those three points and talk about these Old Testament beatitudes and mix in some New Testament also passages that help us to see what this beatitude has to do with. So if I want to be one of the blessed, I have to delight in God's law. I have to be obedient to it. And number one, that means I need to be a reader of it. So blessed are the readers. And that's again what the verse says in Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth. So we talked about this, that when the Bible says he that readeth, it's talking about the public reader of Scripture. So in the early church, very often when these letters were written, they would be addressed to a specific congregation. And when that letter arrived, when it was received, there would be some member of the congregation. When the church came together and assembled, that there would be someone designated to stand before them and read the letter. So we still do that today. We just did it a few moments ago when we have our scripture reading on Sunday mornings. That's exactly what they did, except if they got a letter, they would read the whole thing because it was the first time they'd ever had it and it was new revelation from God. And so they would spend a lot of time reading. And sometimes I think we need to do that. We need to spend more time reading God's word, just the act of reading it. So many times in Bible class, maybe you have a little more time, but in sermons, you know, it takes up a lot of time to read scripture. And you know, if I'm going to preach a sermon, it's going to have scripture in it because you don't want to hear what I won't have to say. That doesn't mean a thing. We have to hear what God has to say. And it takes time to read those. And sometimes we get, you know, bound by the clock and we want it to be shorter. But we need to have God's word, you know, read to us. And it needs to be read, you know, lengthy passages sometimes. At the preacher's meeting a couple months ago in Double Springs, I was asked to talk about humility of all things. And I told Vance, you know, it's hard to be humble when somebody tells you you'll do a great job talking about humility. But one of the things that I talked about to preachers about being humble is that when you get in the pulpit, it's not about you. Nobody cares what you have to say. We want to hear what God has to say. And so many times in sermons today, people get in the pulpit and they'll tell the story of, you know, Daniel, or they'll talk about what Paul did or who did, and won't take the time just to actually read what the Bible says. And, you know, I could tell the story of whatever or whoever, but God has given us these words by inspiration and there's power in them. And if I don't do anything else but read Scripture, then I've done what God wants me to. And if you don't hear anything else except Scripture read, there's power in that word. And so we have to take the time to read what God actually says and not just paraphrase it, you know, put it in our own words or whatever. But that's, you know, letting God speak from the pulpit and not us thinking that, you know, we have to make it fancy or whatever. And so there has to be reading of Scripture. We talked about how these letters, when they would receive them, they would read them, and then they would either make a copy or they would pass it to another congregation. Colossians 4:16 talks about when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. In 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Paul said, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So read it to the whole congregation, but also to all the Christians, wherever they are. And so make a copy of it and send it so that others can have it and can read it. And that's how we got the New Testament. So God was serious about reading his word. And he says, if you want to be one of my blessed people, you have to read God's word. And so it's important. And it's important for God's word to be read aloud and to be read publicly. And, you know, we do that in our scripture reading, and that's a good thing to do. And again, we need to do more of it. I'm going to talk about it in our sermon this morning about prayer, but I would love on singing nights. It's great to have a night of singing, but we need scripture reading. We need more prayer in our services. You know, we focus a whole service just on singing. We don't do that with prayer. We don't pray about things sometimes as we should. We need to be reading God's word more. It's all of these things that are necessary for a congregation to be strong and to be faithful. And, you know, I think there are ways that we can incorporate that in, but it has to be something that, you know, we want to do. And so God says we have to read his word as a congregation, but also especially privately. So in Ephesians 3 and verse 2, Paul tells us, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word or toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so Paul says by reading, we can come to understand exactly what he understood. And that's the importance of reading. When I read Scripture, I can know exactly what Paul knew. And he also tells us that, you know, we as Christians in 1 Timothy 4:13, talking to Timothy, but it applies to all of us, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So give attendance to it means to devote yourself to focus your mind on, to put your heart into it and put your mind to work reading Scripture. You know, we live in a culture today that is, you know, everybody is on their phone, and if you come to a video that's more than, you know, 20 seconds long, you're like, you expect me to watch this? This is a minute long. I'm not going to watch that. People will not sit down and read the Bible or anything, generally speaking. You know, the majority of people, we want sound bites, and we want somebody just to tell us, you know, what it is, sum it up for us. Don't expect me to actually have to read or have to investigate or have to study, but that is absolutely required of us as Christians. And we can't get in the attitude of, you know, just let the preacher tell me what I'm supposed to think or the elders tell me what to believe. I have to study it for myself and read it for myself. And so God is emphasizing that to us. We have to give attendance to reading. And those who do so will please God. And by pleasing God, of course, he's going to bless us. We'll become one of the best, blessed. And so reading is essential. So blessed are those who read. Then secondly, that verse in Revelation 1:3 says, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. So let's talk about hearing for a little bit. When God's word was read publicly, of course, there was one person who would stand up and read it. Or maybe there were more than one and they would take turns, but someone would read it. And then the audience, for lack of a better word, would hear. And so not only is the person who does the reading one of the blessed, but those who hear what is read are also blessed. The preacher in the pulpit is not the only one who's blessed by God, but those who listen to the words of Scripture and, you know, learn the lessons that are taught, they're also blessed, right? The preacher is not the only person who benefits from the act of preaching as an act of worship. It's for the whole congregation because we're all involved in it. And my part may be speaking and your part may be listening, but they're both essential. And so we have to be hearers of the word. So let's talk about some verses that emphasize this. First of all, in the form of a beatitude, Proverbs 8, 33 and 34 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. So the blessed man is one who hears God and who hears wisdom. We know in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is personified, you know, made like a person. And so when you're told to hear, you're supposed to hear wisdom, listen to what wisdom says and learn from it. But it's actually God, you know, who's behind the wisdom. So the one who hears is the one who is blessed. But he describes this person that is hearing as one who is daily watching at my gates, it's the gates of wisdom, waiting at the posts of my doors. And so it's the idea that wisdom is going to come outside of her house and teach us something. And so I'm going to make sure I'm there. So early in the morning, before wisdom maybe has even gotten out of bed or had breakfast, I'm waiting at the door to the house. I'm waiting at the gate to her yard. So the moment that wisdom comes out, I'm there to hear what she has to say. That's the principle of our desire to hear God's word. That it's so important to us that we're the first one in line You know, we can't wait to hear what God has to say to us. And so we're glad to open our Bibles, and we're glad to read, and we're glad to study, and we're glad to go to Bible class, and we're glad to attend worship services, because it's an opportunity to hear God. We find other opportunities. We go to gospel meetings or vacation Bible schools or whatever it is. We watch programs on television or listen on the radio to faithful preachers and teachers, because that's what we desire more than anything else. That's the blessed person, and that's the kind of hearing that God is talking about. So hearing God's word is going to bring us wisdom, which is what Proverbs is teaching us. It, of course, also brings faith, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we listen to God's word, the more we hear it, the greater our faith will be, and the stronger our faith will become. But we have to be willing to listen. And not just willing to listen, but eager to listen. Not just if the opportunity arises or if the chance comes along, well, then I'll hear God's word. But we make opportunities and we take the time to study. John 10 and verse 3 says about the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So hearing brings guidance. Those who are led by Jesus are the sheep who hear his voice. So if we listen to Jesus' voice, then he will guide us. But if we don't listen, then we're not going to have that guidance. And so Jesus is pictured there, of course, as the door to the sheepfold, but he's also pictured as the good shepherd. When you think about that in the light of, you know, Psalm 23, that the Lord will be our shepherd if we will listen to what he says and then follow where he leads, go where he tells us to. So guidance is available, but only if we listen. If we don't listen to Jesus, we're not going to be led correctly. If we listen to other people instead of him, or, you know, others alongside him, and become confused, we're going to be led astray. And so we have to listen to the truth from Jesus. So hearing God's word, it brings wisdom, it brings us faith, it brings us guidance, and then ultimately, of course, it brings forgiveness. And I want to read a passage. John 5:24, first of all, says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's the one, Jesus says, who hears my word, and because we've heard it, faith comes by hearing, we believe on, Jesus says, him that sent me. We believe in God, which is important there. It's not just about believing in Jesus, it's believing God and taking him at his word. And by that kind of faith, we're not condemned, but instead we have eternal life. But there's also a passage in Matthew 18, which has to do with verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. So this is a brother who has done something wrong to another brother or sister. And Jesus says, if your brother he's trespassed against you, he says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And so it's not only hearing God's word, you know, that produces faith, which saves us initially to become a Christian, but it's also, as children of God, when we mess up, when we sin, when we fall short, when we do wrong, when we make mistakes, we have to again be willing to listen to what Jesus says. And so here's a brother who's sinned, and someone goes and tells him, and if he hears, then he'll make it right. Verse 16 says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So if he won't hear you, you get witnesses to go back with you and try again. And they're not witnesses to what he did wrong, because that was just between you and him, but they're witnesses to the fact that you are telling him what he did wrong, and he is unwilling to listen. So they're not witnesses of the event, but they're witnesses that you're trying to save his soul. And then verse 17 says, if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So you go, and if he won't listen, you take witnesses to verify that you're trying to do your Christian duty. And if he still won't listen, well, then it's told to the congregation. And the whole congregation tries to win him back. And if he still won't listen to the church, well, then you have to withdraw from him, separate yourself from him. But the key to all of this is being willing to hear, to listen. So when God says, blessed are they that hear, this is part of what he's talking about. If we ever in our lives as Christians become so hard-headed or hard-hearted that we stop listening to God or his word or to someone who is teaching us God's word, when what they're saying is the truth, when we become too stubborn to listen to that, then we are endangering our own souls. We'll be lost because of that, because we've stopped hearing. We're not one of the blessed if we're not willing to listen. So when you become a Christian, you don't, you know, learn it all at that point, and you don't have to learn anything else. It's a continual process which requires continual hearing. And so we have to keep listening to God's word. And if we want to be pleasing to God, that's exactly what we'll do. So blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And then thirdly, they that keep those things which are written therein. So blessed are the readers, blessed are the hearers, and blessed are the keepers. And I want us to think about this idea in a couple of ways. Of course, it's important to read God's word. It's important to hear God's word. But those things mean nothing if we don't do what we've read and what we've heard. It has to be joined with a willingness to obey what God has said. And if we're not willing to do what we've read or what we've heard, then we've just wasted our time. To be one of the blessed, you have to do all three: read and hear and keep God's law. So it's important to do that, to keep God's word. So Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Here's another beatitude. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Then verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So we have two beatitudes in those two verses, and they tie into this idea of what we're talking about. So the person who is undefiled in the way, when he's talking about in the way, the second phrase of that verse explains it: those who walk in the law of the Lord. So the way is the way we walk, the way we conduct ourselves. So if I want to be undefiled in my life, then I have to live in the law of the Lord. The only way to be undefiled is to do what God says to do, to be undefiled. So I have to listen to his word and then walk in it. And walking in it means doing what it says, applying it to my life and living accordingly. And then the second verse, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And then he expands on that by saying that seek him with the whole heart. So not half-heartedly, not even 99% of the heart, but with the whole heart. Our most important desire is the Lord. And so we seek him by reading and hearing his law, because that teaches us who he is, and it teaches us what he wants from us and what he expects of us. So to be undefiled, I have to walk in God's law, and to keep his testimonies requires my whole heart. I have to seek him with everything that is within me, which goes back to where we started in Psalm 112, of course, that it's those who delight greatly in his commandments. So it's not something that is forced upon us that we have to do, but we don't really want to do it. But we delight in it because we recognize that it comes from God and that it's good for us. It's what's best for us. So Obedience demands the whole heart. We have to be totally involved in and totally invested in what we're doing. So love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, might, all of those things. Everything has to be devoted to him. But secondly, obedience, not only does it take the whole heart, but it has to do with, of course, keeping God's commandments. So we read Proverbs 8, 33 and 34 a moment ago. But I want to back up to verse 32, which is just before that, and it kind of starts the train of thought there. And that verse says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." So again, if we want to be one of the blessed, we have to keep God's ways. Not just hear it, not just read it, but actually do it. And then he says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." So hear it, don't reject it, take it in, but also keep it. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." So if we want to be one of the blessed, again, we have to keep God's word, actually do what he says. Jesus in the New Testament in Luke 11, 28, he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So this is a beatitude spoken directly by Jesus. He says the blessed person is the one who hears God's word and keeps it. So again, not just read it and not just hear it, but actually live it, to do what it says and to be obedient to it. Psalm 128 in verse number 1 is another beatitude. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." So again, it's more than hearing, it's more than reading, but it's walking in what God has said. So obedience in that verse is a way of life. That's what the walk is. So again, it's not just obeying the gospel to become a Christian and then never doing anything else, but it's continually obeying what God says. We keep on reading, we keep on hearing, we keep on doing and obeying what God commands us to do. So when we come to the New Testament, there are passages like James chapter 1, which reminds us of this truth from the other perspective. So we've read these Beatitudes that say, if you want to be one of the blessed, you have to do what God says. James looks at it from the other side and says, if you don't do what God says, this is who you are. Not only are you not one of the blessed, but you're one of the lost. So James 1 in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," which is an overflowing of wickedness. So put away from you things that are sinful and that are wrong. And instead, he says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So we know what engrafted is. When you take a branch and you graft it into a tree, you cut a little notch in there and all that. James says that's what we have to do with God's word. We have to graft it into our hearts and our minds and into our lives. And when we do that, he says, it's able to save our souls. But, he says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if you hear but you don't do, you're deceiving yourself. You're telling yourself that I'm okay because I read my Bible today. I'm okay because I attended worship services and I heard God's word, and that's what's required of me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to actually, do better in my prayer life like we've been studying about for 3 months. I've heard it, but I'm not really going to do anything with it. I'm not going to actually go teach somebody God's word, even though the Bible says I'm supposed to. I'm not going to do it. But I've read it, and I know what it says, and I know that I'm supposed to, and that's enough. Well, James says that's not enough. You're fooling yourself if you think that that's enough. He says you have to actually do it. For, he says, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass," in a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So there's another beatitude, maybe not exactly a beatitude, but it's our word blessed. The one who's blessed is the one who hears, doesn't forget what he's heard, but actually does it. That man is blessed in his actions, in his works, in his deeds. And so if I want my works to be blessed, they have to be in obedience to God. But also think about what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And we sing that song with our children, and we talk about the wise man building his house on the rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand. And sometimes we fail to get to the real heart of what Jesus is saying there. To build your house on the rock is to hear what he says and to do it. It's not enough, again, just to hear it and to say, I know what the Bible teaches, and I've read it, and I've studied it, and I've learned it. If I don't actually do it, then I'm building my house on sand, and one day it's all going to fall apart. It's all going to be destroyed because it requires, it demands obedience to be grounded upon that rock. So Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. There's seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation, seven, the perfect number, the number of completion, perfection. There are seven beatitudes, blessed statements. And this is one of them. The blessed are those who keep what that book teaches us, which is why we're studying it and why we need to study it, because our salvation depends upon it. And then in verse 14 of that chapter, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What that means is if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have the right, the authority from the Lord to enter the gates of heaven and partake of the tree of life so you can live forever, the only way you can do that is by being one of the blessed. And the only way to be one of the blessed is to do his commandments. Again, not just hear them or read them, but to actually do what he says. And so that's the lesson. Am I a reader? I should be, and I hope that we are. But there needs to be more than that. Am I a hearer? Do I take what I've read and let it sink into my mind and my heart? And then ultimately, am I a keeper? Meaning, do I keep God's word? Do I actually do what he says? Or do I just think that knowing it is enough? If I want to be blessed and ultimately have salvation forever in heaven, I have to obey the word of God. And there's no way around it. So if I'm not being obedient, I hope we'll change that and fix that. And again, not just hear what the Bible says, but actually do it. However difficult it is, whatever change I have to make in my life, it's worth it, because that's the way to salvation. It's the way to please God. It's the way to live with him forever. So hope this will encourage us and we'll be truly obedient and faithful to the word of God. So we'll stop here. And we got two more Beatitudes in the Old Testament, and we'll begin with them in our next lesson.